There you
All right.
go.
Without further ado, we're gonna kick off this morning. Who'd like to pray for Brian this morning? Raise your hand.
Rico.
I need a lot of prayer. Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank you, Father, for Brian. Father, thank you for giving him the words that he's going to get share with us, Father. Father, thank you for bringing such an awesome guy to role model after, Father. And Father, I just pray that you bless everyone here, bless the food. And Father, I just thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to get started this morning. Does anybody know why I have these, what these dolphins up here are doing? I say, right? Dolphins. Well, here's what they're doing. Ed, next slide. They're up there. They're grumbling and complaining. Okay? And, you know, I thank God that somebody ruined the score of the Michigan game for me yesterday because I was recording it. I didn't want to know the score because, you know, I was excited to watch it. And my friend says, you don't want to see this. You don't want. He kept me from the train wreck. So otherwise, there'd be a little more grumbling and complaining coming out of me this morning. Amen? We're going to start off with a... Go ahead, next slide. Back up. Sorry. Can we escape? We got us. We're going to start off with just a short video. He does say the H word. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that.
What?
H word.
What's that?
Heck, but you'll see. Is that all right, Pastor?
What's your word?
Heaven?
Go ahead, next one. Archie.
Is that a bad L?
Archie, up there. Uh-oh. Hold on. All right.
Archie.
All right. There we go.
And let me ask you this. Do you think Jimmy is roaming around the White House tonight trying to find a meatloaf to warm himself up on?
I don't think the cod is eating meatloaf.
Who the hell are they? They're only from Georgia. Oh, let me tell you something. I am so sick of Washington and all its works and all them politicians down there and them congressmen and the congressmen, boy. I'll bet you won't find none of them congressmen signing down their electric blankets tonight. Which if they did, their secretaries would get up and go home. Oh, readers, the Democrats is doing the whole thing. The Democrats. And you put them in there. That's the face you had on you when you come back in the polls. Well, the Democrats' way of running this country is to go tell us all how we ought to make sacrifices. God, they're great on that stuff. But they're all going to have us over the hill to the poorhouse. We ain't going to be able to drive over there because we ain't got no gas, so we're going to have to walk it.
The Reader's Digest says walking is very good for you.
Oh, ain't that lovely? The Reader's Digest can always put a little joy into poverty. Listen, my whole point is this whole thing with the energy and everything. This is all a conspiracy. Don't you know that? It's a conspiracy there. Listen. For years, all our lives, they've been telling us to go out and buy stuff that use energy. You know, all electrical stuff. Like electric toasters, electric ovens, electric stove, electric stereo, electric TV, electric race, electric hair blower, electric knives, electric every damn thing. Not to mention the cars. And now, after all the big corporations there make the billions and billions of dollars worth of profits, signals, wham, they're changed. And after telling us for years that we can't live without this junk, now they tell us that we gotta live without it. The country is going straight into the dumper.
Exit out of that, Ed, so it doesn't play the next video. Who would have known that Archie Bunker was a prophet? That was from like almost 50 years ago. Well, one thing about Archie, he was always what? Always grumbling and complaining about something.
Everything.
Or some group or whatever, right? We'll just go. But we would never talk like Archie Bunker, would we?
Of course not.
No? No. The Greek word, I looked this up, you'd be proud of me, Pastor Don. Greek word translated complainer literally means one who is discontent with his lot in life. It is akin to the word grumbler. Complaining is certainly not a fruit of the Spirit, and in fact is detrimental to peace, joy, and patience that comes from the Spirit. For the Christian, complaining is destructive and debilitating personally and only serves to make our witness to the world more difficult. Who, for instance, would be attracted to a religion whose adherents are dissatisfied with life and who continually grumble and complain? And we all know that person. How you doing today, brother? Oh, I'm... You know, and just, oh, man, I'm sorry I asked, you know. And
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, you want to be around this person? But all I hear says complaining is destructive and debilitating. So it's detrimental to the peace and joy and patience that we have. And you know what we all, and you know, I tried not to teach on this. I really did. God gave me this idea like a few months back. And then when I started to do it, I'm like, you know what, Lord, I think maybe you want me to do something else. Something positive, Shane. I'm going to do something positive. So I kid you not, I literally opened my Bible that day, and they're talking about the Israelites complaining against Moses. And I'm like, oh, man. I said, all right, Chrissy, we're going to get through this because I live out my teachings. So meaning... if I teach about prosperity, which I never have, then I'm going to live that out. But no, I got to grumble and complain, and so my poor wife was affected there. So, all right. Yes, she is. Next slide, Ed. So why do we tend to complain? Number one, I believe it's part of our sinful nature. So we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. We're more prone to grumble and complain. And that's true. Amen. I noticed that in my own walk. Man, I come home and, Chrissy, how was your day, honey? And then, right? You know? So number one, we find ourselves starting to grumble, complain a little too much. Hey, maybe we need to get into prayer. Maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need to say, oh, honey, I had a terrible day. Would you pray for me? I actually come home sometimes and I'm grumbling, complaining, and my wife will say, I think you need to come back in. So I walk out, and then I'll come back in. Hey, how was your day? Oh, it was wonderful, you know, blah, blah, blah. Galatians 5:16, you need a microscope to read this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay. Number two, why we tend to complain. We've grown up around it. I'm 53 years old. I think it's time I stop blaming my parents. But I'm not joking. Chrissy can attest to this. My mom and dad were Edith and Archie Bunker. To a T. So that was prophetic there. But yeah, you've grown up around it. You're around that culture, you know. You become accustomed to it. Your parents did it. Siblings did it, you know. It's going to pass it on to you. That doesn't mean we got to walk in it. Amen. Right? I mean, I thank God my mother passed on the Christianity to me. Amen? But the grumbling, yeah, she gave me that too. Number three, we hang out with people who grumble and complain. You know? Like after church, well, I'm glad Ken Wydick's not here because I would be grumbling and complaining with him. My son-in-law, all about the Michigan game. You know, we lock arms and how we need to fire Harbaugh. But instead of trying to curb their negativity, a lot of times we join right in, don't we? Man, Pastor John, you went too long today, didn't you? I swear. You're trying to, no, right? Grumbling. You try to pull others into your web. I've done it. I apologize. Do not be misled. The Bible says bad company will corrupt good character. The enemy, you know, not just our own flesh, but he wants to feed that grumbling and complaining. Amen? You know, once we start up that engine, all we've done is got a little start, just a couple little words, you know, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, he sends somebody else and they're pouring fuel on that fire and takes a little thing like this, a little problem, and just blows it all out of proportion. Amen? And he wants to keep the fire going. Amen? You know? And well, we need to squash the fire. We need to put that fire right out. So why would he do that? Because he knows that grumbling and complaining was going to stop us from where God wants us to be. You know, I need to take a look in the mirror when I was doing this teaching. I was like, man, Fred, I was getting hit hard. First I was hit here, then here, and then a little blow to belt there, you know. But yeah, if God wants me to go there, but yet all I'm doing is complaining the whole time, guess what? I'm going to go get sidetracked, and I'm not going to end up where God wants me to be. Now, I don't want that, you know. And I'm up here being honest with you guys. Yeah, it's a stronghold that I'm trying to break. But you know, if we all be honest with each other, we do have times where we go through this grumbling and complaining, you know, even about the people we love the most. Amen? You have a destiny in Christ. God wants you to get there just like the promised land was the destiny for the Israelites. Remember what happened to them. We're going to read that right now in Numbers. We're going to do some share time. Bob, where's that mic?
All ready, brother.
All right. I'm just going to pick a random person to start reading. Nope, I'm going to pick. There you go, son. Random. Random. So I want you, if you would, start reading to us.
Fire from the Lord. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused.
Stop. Okay, right away, man. Now the people, they complain. Well, a hard time. Man, this is tough out here in the desert. Blah, blah, blah. And they're just already complaining. When God heard them, he got ticked. I'm like, man, that sticks out to me. Uh-oh. Does that mean when I complain, God gets mad? Probably, yeah. Yeah. Go on, sorry.
Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So that place was called Deberah because fire from the Lord had burned among them.
Pass the mic down. Good job. Sammy.
I can't read.
Okay.
No, seriously, I can't do it.
You can stand up here? Come on, Shane.
I don't really want.
See how he's wait a minute. You see? Tweedledee and okay.
But I have my glasses.
Here, pass this down. But harder.
The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it all in handmill and crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot and made it into leaves. And it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you may burden all of these people on me?"
Time out. Now Moses is complaining, right? I told you it was infectious, right? Okay, go on.
Conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms and as a nurse carries an infant to the land of the promise on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, "Give us meat to eat." I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me.
Wait, I like the end. If I have found favor in your eyes. Go ahead.
If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin.
Thank you. Go ahead and kill me? Really? Yeah, I've probably read this like 100 times before, but never realized, and then it just stuck with me as I was doing this study here. I'm like, hey, God, man, this is too much, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you might as well just take me now. Do we ever feel like that at times? Right? Amen.
Hold on.
And it's something to remember. He was right in the middle of God's will. They're out in the desert. Hey, God took them out there, what, to test them. You know, they had been slaves for all these years. Now he's trying to turn them into a covenant community, really an army, you know. And so, you know, you guys have been in the military. You know, the first thing they're doing is what? Breaking you down. Was there a lot of complaining the first couple of days, Roger, when you were in boot camp? Yeah, yeah. You may not have opened up and said anything, but, you know, but by when you were done, you learned why you went through what you went through, you know. So, you know, when you're going through something, always remember, I'm right in the middle of God's will. What's he trying to teach me here? Where's he trying to take me? What's he trying to do in my life? And it puts a whole different perspective a lot of times on the situation. I was thinking of the Apostle Paul in the middle of that hurricane, you know, in the book of Acts. But the question was he right where God wanted him to be? If it wasn't for that hurricane, they never would have got blown off course to Malta. Malta, they came out, people being healed, you know. And there's a church, there's a group of Christians in Malta to this very day because of that hurricane that blew them out 2,000 years later. So, you know, you have to have that eternal perspective sometimes. But also, you know, it's easy to say, but, you know, when you're going through those times, it's difficult. But we have so many promises from God that he's there with us. He's taking us through us. We may not understand it at the time, but we can trust that God's hand is there guiding us, leading us. Instead of that complaining, what does it say in Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord when? Always.
Sammy.
So I know there's a lot of times, you know, like in marriage and stuff, we'll hear the word, you know, I'm just venting to you. I need to express myself. But how do we distinguish between complaining about situations and venting and letting it off our chest? And where's that kind of line at?
Well, all right. I'll give you my interpretation, and Pastor Don give you the real interpretation. We do. We vent to our spouses, right? And when you keep it there at home, then you should pray about it. Okay, so what's going on? Why are we complaining about this? Okay, maybe we need to pray about this situation and that person. It happened to me the other day. My boss said, I share an office 2 days a week. Unless she wanted me to share at 5, I wasn't happy. So I come home venting, grumbling, complaining. I was mad, ready to leave my job. And then we prayed about it, Christy and I, and she relented. My boss, not Christy. So, Pastor Don. But yeah, there's a fine line. You want to add to that, or you? Okay. All right, add some. Yeah, we got it. Go ahead.
You know, as you asked that question, and the first thing that went through my mind was, venting can be a prayer. So we wouldn't think of it that way. You ever read the Psalms? Read the Psalms and see how many times the psalmist vented to God. You know, God, you know, I'm here. I'm in this place. I feel abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus himself. But he uses those situations and those circumstances to turn around and say, God, this is the way I feel, but I know different, you know. And so, yeah, there's times, God, I don't want to be in this situation, but not my will, but your will be done. And so we see Jesus in the garden, or we see others in circumstance. The Apostle Paul says, I despaired even of life, you know, when they were in this. But they continually prayed. They continually prayed. And so, yeah, there's a time of venting, but to take that and to use it is an opportunity for prayer. I may not understand it, God. This is tough. I'm lonely. I'm hurt. You know, why did you put me in the lion's den here? Why'd you lead us out into the desert? But God, I'm going to trust you. You see how you can change and turn that around. I may not understand, but you know, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look for your hand. I'm going to look for your glory somehow, some way. And it puts a whole different perspective, you know, on the way that we look at things. So a lot of it is, you know, the battle's between our ears a lot of times. You know, the way we think, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. And it's really getting our thinking in line with what the Scripture says. And we know that almost every character we read about in the Scripture, what? They were put into that place where they, you know, they were complaining. Or they may have been venting. But they can use that also for that springboard into prayer. God, that, you know, like I said, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and that's the difficult prayer to pray. You know.
It's funny that you're teaching on this, actually, because on Friday I was venting to God. In some ways, I was going, like, back and forth, and I was very, I felt like I was in sin because I was, like in doubt and unbelief, and I'm going, Lord, help me here because I don't understand what's going on in this certain situation. And I was talking to him probably for like about 4 hours. So I kept going back and forth, and he kept sending me back to a prophecy. So he kept sending me back to that prophecy, but because I couldn't see that prophecy there, I still kept saying to God, "What? Why did you put me here, and why did you give me this gift if there's no, I can't see a solution?" So I ended up going to a store. And I saw an old friend there. I saw an old friend there that, to be honest, she was not walking with the Lord. And I saw her, and she gave me a big hug, and I said, "How are you?" And she's like, "Do you have a minute?" And I was like, "Sure." So I sat down, and she started telling me what God did in her life. She started telling me that she was in straight-up rebellion. I mean, I was sitting there, and I was looking at her, and I was like, "God, is this you?" I mean, she was talking to me and saying, "Esther, I was in complete rebelliousness." She actually came to this church. She walked away. But she started telling me, like, a lot of things that were going on in her life, and she was actually speaking prophetic. She was saying she didn't know what she was speaking to. Do you know that it was prophesied that this happened? And she was actually speaking to me about what was spoken over the situation I was dealing with. She was telling me exactly what God was telling me about the situation, but I kept saying no because I can't see this. So I was just so blessed that she actually brought me back into perspective. But it took somebody that walked away for a very long time to say, and God said to me, "Do you see what I've done here? What you thought I could never change, I have changed in her. You thought by looking at her situation, I couldn't change her because of the way she was living." I said, he said to me, "Esther, that's the same thing I'm telling you with your situation and other situations in my life that I kept saying is impossible." So I'm praise God that you're teaching on that, because God is good and faithful to bring us back to the right in line with him.
Thanks, Esther. Now, and that's confirmation I'm supposed to be teaching this. So, so honey, you can blame Esther for all my grumbling and complaining for the last couple weeks here. I got a commentary I want to read here. Says here, "I've committed many scripture verses to memory. Philippians 2:14 isn't one of them. Quote, 'Do everything without grumbling or complaining.' That conveniently slipped from my sight whenever I read Philippians. Yet recently an evangelist parked on it during a church revival meeting. I squirmed. Ah, come on, can't Christians express their opinions?" The evangelist wasn't addressing opinions, but complaints about the church from people like me. I had a running list: repetitious music, annoying brethren, even the revival itself. "We just had revival earlier this year," I noted. "Why do we need another one?" Nearly every Sunday, I refreshed the list with the latest irritations and recited it to friends and family. On Mondays, when I couldn't remember much about the worship on Sunday, I had to admit that I had become a pro at complaining. But since the revival, God has been teaching me the cure for it. Number one, confess to God. Complaining isn't harmless sport, it's serious sin. Paul wrote, "And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel," in 1 Corinthians. The men who spied out Canaan had returned to Israel's camp and reported the promised land had giants. Knowing they would be squashed once they entered Canaan, the people grumbled. In Numbers. Besides this, more than once the Israelites surveyed post-Exodus conditions and concluded that the past never looked so good. Oh, I wish I could go back. Oh, the 80s were such a great time. Yeah. Right, Bob? Or in your case, the 1880s? Death in Egypt would have been better than defeat in Canaan. What Moses said to the people echoed the conviction in me. This one hit. You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. So when we grumble against our pastors, we're grumbling against God, unfortunately. After reading these Old Testament passages, I understood that my complaints weren't against conditions and believers in the church body, but against God Himself. Weary of wandering in my own wilderness of unrest and irritability, I asked Him to forgive me. Amen. I thought, what a heck of a commentary, you know? It really spoke volumes to me. Next slide. Grumbling and complaining produce yucky fruit. You know, like we have the good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that stuff. Well, here you got some bitterness up here, some anger down here, unforgiveness, and a side of bad attitude. Who wants to eat the yucky fruit? Amen? We want God producing that good fruit in us. So if we're always grumbling and complaining, like the guy said, we need to repent. Get that yucky fruit out of us so that good fruit can flow, right? My father-in-law has an apple tree in his yard. But if you don't spray them at the beginning of the season, all the fruit comes out rotted. Everything? Do everything without grumbling or arguing? Can't we? Isn't there some? Donna, can't we just do a little bit of? No, the Bible says everything. Why? If you go from Philippians 2:14, if you go to the very next verse in 15, it says here, so that we may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. So if we do everything without grumbling and complaining, that's a large task. Right, Pastor Don?
Yep.
I mean, we can't do it on our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and say, all right, I know the pastor's asked me to do this. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try not to grumble and complain, Ed. I'm going to fight that flesh, right? Next slide. But why can't they do it, right? Isn't that common? You know, pastors come to you and say, hey, I need you to do this, I want you to teach this. Well, why can't Kenny? You know, why can't he do it? Well, maybe just because God wants you to do it. Amen? We always want to point. Why can't they? Why can't that? But God reminded me of this scripture in Luke 12:48b. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted much, much more would be asked. And I'm reminded of the story of the guys with the talents, right? One guy had one, the other one had three, the other one had five. You know? Hey, if you're gifted with a lot of talents, like my wife, you're going to be asked to do some stuff. And you would do it without what, honey? Without grumbling and complaining. Amen? Or say, all right, next one. So how can we combat the enemy of grumbling and complaining? Number one, stop complaining to others and go have a chat with God. Hey, Esther, that was great. 4 hours, you went back and forth. But guess what? God wants you to have 4 hours doing that, and then picking up the phone, calling Donna or Alma or Chrissy, and complaining for 4 hours. He can handle your complaints.
Yeah.
Right? Like Pastor Don said, the Psalms. scripture we all know, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we can even pray about grumbling. I did this week. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me to keep my mouth shut. And that was it. Move on. Forgive, right? Hey, God forgave you. Forgive yourself, right? Repentance. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do the opposite. Where's Shane? SpongeBob, opposite day, remember? Yes. Okay, he did everything opposite. Or Seinfeld fans, George Costanza did everything opposite and it all worked out for him. The opposite of complaining, grumbling, complaining is speaking life. You know? Can we look for the good things? Right? Instead of like, you know, this, that, blah, blah, blah. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. Amen? Next slide. Be careful what you say. Grumbling and complaining is contagious. It's not God's will for your life. If you got kids, and that's all you do is you grumble and complain around them, you're going to see fruit in their life like that. You know? They're going to come home and, I had a bad day at school, and throw their book bag down on the ground. And, you know? If someone approaches you and wants to grumble, complain, instead of joining in, which our flesh loves, oh, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's Sammy, boy. You know? No. Instead of joining in, hey, you know what? I understand your concerns. How about we pray about that situation right now? What would happen if we start to do that? Amen? What's that? What? Be no fun? I know. The flesh, man. The flesh just, you know. We got to kill that flesh, Fred. It's tough. Trust me. I'm not complaining, though. Remind others when they grumble against the pastors what the Israelite leader Moses said when they grumble against him. You're not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. That's the one that hit me the most, you know. Hey, they're men. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. And you can go to the next one. So this is grumbling and complaining. And in my life, it's a big obstacle. Well, what's wrong with this picture? Does anybody know? Yeah, it's going to crush them. That's one good thing, but that's not what I'm looking for. She got it. That kid's trying to push that boulder on his own. And you know what? And with grumbling and complaining, in my life especially, I can't do it on my own strength. So we need to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come in and help us to take that out of our lives. Amen? And that's it. That's all I got. All right.
All right, Father, we just thank you for this time. I pray that we could just take this word and apply it truly to each one of our lives, Lord God. I pray that you just rid us of the complaining tongue, Lord, and put a praying tongue inside of each one of us, Father God. We just give you praise and glory. Prepare our hearts right now for worship. In Jesus' name, amen.